Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah. Here we go, people.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Football great again.
Football was crazy today. Wow, what a day.
What a day. Yes, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man on Sunday. So the 23rd, we are ready to go. Mr. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Ah, man, like we were talking about, I'm doing all right. I knew we wasn't going to go undefeated, but I really wanted to go to Charlotte and get a win, but it didn't happen, and then Falcons, we'll get to it. It's been a weird, really weird football kind of day, really weird football kind of weekend. We're going to delve into it, but I'm good. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Rob, how you feeling this evening?
Man, doing great. My fantasy team's not doing so great. Some kind of way I got to turn it around. Went 2-4 in week one, 3-3 in week two. I know it's not over this with tonight and tomorrow, but I'm waiting on having a winning week in fantasy.
Yeah, me and you both. It's getting dark early.
It's still early, so you still got time to make some comebacks here. Really quickly, reach out to us, 424-243-9519 is the number. Follow us on Facebook at the number 12, or excuse me, follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/12ManSports or Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Got a lot of things to talk about, as JQ said. It's been an interesting day, so let's kind of kick it off with the recap with the Cowboys and the Seahawks, Rob.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, Seattle just kept pounding the rock today. I mean, they pounded. Chris Carson, 32 carries, a little bit over 100 yards, and that's what they did. They protected Russell Wilson in that regards by running the football down the Cowboys' throat. And you saw some of the Cowboys' offensive line roles, Tyron Smith going out of the game. So that kind of hurt them as well. And, Seattle just they did their thing. They almost kind of played like Seattle of yesteryear, a few years ago. After looking, pretty pathetic here in the first couple of weeks of the season, they came out and looked like a completely different team. Not that the Cowboys are great offensively, and really Dak Prescott didn't really have a great game today. So, I mean, in a nutshell, I mean, they controlled the clock in the game, if I'm not mistaken. They had, 42 minutes of the clock, and Dallas only like 18 or 19. And so, yeah, it was fairly convincing win for the Seahawks in this game.
Yeah, and that was a team that was at home showing some pride. They couldn't go to 0-3. So they just came out, and they just, they were really physical. And the same Chris Carson, Pete Carroll just wreaking havoc with fantasy players. Chris Carson doesn't get a carry in the second half last week, gets 32 of them today and goes around and gets in the end zone. They played real physical football. But the Cowboys just, to me, just out of sorts. Zeke stepping out of bounds, nullified a touchdown, had a big run that he fumbled on. Dak didn't look comfortable at all. That read option wasn't working. They just, they came back to earth. They got a little hyped up after beating the Giants and came back to earth. Seattle was just a proud franchise that just wasn't going to go to 0-3 at home. And like you said, running left, running right, and running up the middle, they just beat the Cowboys over the head with the run game today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were pounding that rock.
Mm-hmm.
Recap the Bears at the Cardinals. Take you good.
Just a really interesting game, a tale of two halves, really, because I looked up. And because I had changed to the Cowboys and Seahawks game, I had come off the red zone, and I looked up and was like, wait a minute, how is Arizona up 14-0 on Chicago? With Sam Bradford doing that to a very, very good Bears defense. And then the Bears realized, oh, yeah, that's still Sam Bradford. They knocked him out the game and playing Rosen. And that was pretty much all it was said for, you know, coming back, timely turnovers, timely sacks, Howard getting in the end zone. You know, the Bears just were workmanlike in that second half to get back in that game. A little concerned about them for falling behind 14-0 to the Cardinals, who are a full-blown dumpster fire. But you got to give them credit for coming back, because in a couple weeks, we won't care how it looked. It'd just be a W in the stat sheet, and you get a Bears credit for being resilient on the road with a young quarterback themselves, but with a very good defense. The defense is portable. You can take that on the road and get a win like they showed today.
Yeah, and don't look now, but the Bears are in first place in the NL Central. You know, 2-1, the Packers as well as the Vikings are 1-1-1. And well, and the Lions look like they might have a shot going 1-2 at a 2-minute warning here in this game. So don't look now. The Bears are in first place, playing outstanding defense, forced 3 turnovers today. Eddie Jackson got INT, a few others got INT. So they're playing outstanding on the defensive side of the football, getting just enough offense right now. Mr. Trubisky is still going through some growing pains at the quarterback position. Tariq Cohen had a solid game as well for the Bears. Put up some nice numbers today. So other than that, I mean, it's their defense that's getting it done. Khalil Mack with the pressure and creating havoc. And like I said, they forced 3 turnovers on the defensive side of the ball today. Good win for them.
Yeah, Khalil Mack ain't buying no steaks and no beers in the city of Chicago right now. He can run from there and probably win.
And trust me, the management of Oakland has to pay for everything out there.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about this Clay Matthews penalty. Seems like he's getting picked on a lot, but it's kind of terrible, man. What are your thoughts about that, Rob?
Oh, I think it's horrible. I mean, body weight penalty is what the NFL is trying to say right now. I mean, come on. I mean, this is football. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a Packers fan or anything. I know Mike is, and he probably have a lot to say about it. But, I mean, come on. It is football, man. Don't be calling a stupid body weight penalty. I mean, the NFL covered for the referees with that foolishness? Come on, man. I know I'm being facetious, and I say this a lot on the show, but are we really putting the skirts on the quarterbacks? I mean, you cannot stop a guy from putting that kind of – you cannot stop a guy's motion in that. I mean, that's impossible for expect that out of a player. I can see the helmet stuff. You know, I can see that. You know, guys got to be a little bit more controlled and try to go for the midsection as much as possible and stay away from the helmet. I give the league that. But this body weight foolishness, come on. I mean, Clay Matthews didn't even hit the guy in the head. His helmet hit the shoulder area. I think it's a foolishness penalty, and I think Clay Matthews is unfortunately getting a bad rap, and he don't deserve to get the bad rap.
Yeah, and if you saw Mike McCarthy, he was ready to throw blows with that referee. He was hot.
Yes.
And I don't blame him. My thing is, if you're the NFL, and I think they really covered up because they would have had to get on the referees 2 weeks in a row about Clay Matthews in particular for 2 really bad calls. You have to ask yourself, what is Clay Matthews supposed to do in that position? You do a swim move or, you know, a rip move and come underneath and you hit him and you're hitting him and he's going backwards. How do you not fall on him? Because what's going to happen is you're going to try to fall off and you're not going to wrap up and the quarterback is going to get away. They're either going to throw a bomb play down the field for you or they're going to get the first down. And then what do you say to your defensive lineman, your linebackers, your safeties that are blitzing and trying to get to the quarterback? You know, I understand trying to make it safer, the concussions, the CTE, and all that good stuff, like you said, with the helmet. But that right there is we got to have some common sense in the game of football. It's a physical game. People are going to get hit. They're going to get hurt, unfortunately, because it's a very violent game. You come through the line, you hit him. You can see him trying to roll to the side and let his hands free once he figured that he had him down. At that point, what else would you have Clay Matthews do? I mean, I texted Mike, like, I can't believe that. He was like, I'm so tired of this. And I couldn't blame him. I was like, I'm not trying to rub salt in the room. I honestly texted you because I thought that was just, again, the word for the week for these is egregious. That is an egregious call. You cannot make that call.
Yeah.
What else is he supposed to do?
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I always make the comparison that basketball is a physical game. Football is a collision sport. I mean, come on. it is a collision sport. That's a collision. That was a legal hit. Body weight my ass.
I'm with you. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, unfortunate, man. Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. He continues to do his thing. What about his play, JQ?
Oh, my goodness. It just sums up in that one play where he got rushed and he scrambled and rolled back and threw an absolute dart to the back of the end zone. I don't think that ball maybe got about 12, 15 yards above the ground, but it whistled past like two or three defenders and hit the wide receiver right in the back of the end zone. That defense for Kansas City is a concern because they let San Francisco get back in the game when they should have. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes with another three touchdowns. That dude is just on another planet right now with that. And I understand he's going to probably come back down to earth a little bit as they get more tape on him. But he, like you said, Rob, he's got exceptional arm talent. That ball just comes off his fingertips.
Man, I never seen it be so pretty.
I mean, if you haven't seen it, go look at that play. And and it's on the money with zip and just the velocity to it. There's just nothing you can really do about. It's insane. He's on another planet right now. He's your, you know, getting to the quarter mark of the season. He's your MVP right now. 13 touchdown passes. Mm. Good Lord. Mm.
And by the way, that breaks Peyton Manning's record for the most touchdown passes in the first three games of the season. Peyton Manning has the record for 12. Patrick Mahomes breaks it, 13.
In that season, Peyton Manning threw, 53 touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Yeah, so just think about what he's on pace to do. That's crazy.
Yeah. First year starting quarterback in the NFL, second year in the league. Incredible. And the way that ball, as JQ mentioned, the way it flies out of his hands is unbelievable. I don't think I've seen anything like it. Maybe John Elway, maybe Dan Marino, but I don't even think they had the arm talent that this kid has.
Yeah, it's sick. When I saw that replay, or when they cut away to it in the red zone, when he scrambled out of that would-be sack and on the full-out run, just threw an absolute perfect spiral dart to the back of the end zone, I said, he's going to be a problem. You're about to outscore Kansas City. You're not gonna go to them and say we're gonna hold him down because he's gonna pretty much get his unless somebody gets hurt or a couple of them get hurt. They have so many weapons and he's gonna put the ball on the money like that. Good luck.
Now you know why Kansas City was very eager to trade away Alex Smith because they're like, hey, we got a surprise for you guys. So he's definitely ready to go. So they're making right moves right now. What about Carson Wentz, Rob? Yeah, good. He can finish up one, Patrick.
You know, very interesting. I saw a good bit of that game today, too. I was actually at a sports bar in Austin. It was the Eagles sports bar, so I was surrounded by hundreds of Eagles fans. And so I saw a good bit of that game. And I think he's going to be fine. Obviously, he had to shake off some rust. You know, he got a touchdown. He had an INT. He also had a fumble in the game. But I think the Eagles are going to be fine with Carson Wentz. He just had to shake off some rust. I think from week to week you're going to see him get better and better, which is a scary thing for the rest of the NFL. But just from my evaluation of seeing him, the way he moved around, I just think he was shaking off a lot of rust. He led them to two nice touchdown drives in a game. But I think you'll see him progress as we go along here. And like I say, I think today he was just shaking off the cobwebs a little bit on his first game back.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And that has to be anticipated. The same way you've seen that with Deshaun Watson not being the same guy he was last year with the injury, both with ACL injuries trying to come back. But real quiet, we talk real bad about the Indianapolis defense. But Indianapolis, to be 1-2, I mean, the Bengals, forced the fumbles to seal that game late with Indianapolis driving. Then Indianapolis beat a Redskins team that just beat Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers today. And then they had a chance to win that game in Philadelphia, in the red zone at the end. They just couldn't, get it done. So that Indianapolis team, it ain't really no punk right now. So, put a little bit of that in the equation when you talk about Carson Wentz because he did have the rust. But he also was playing against a team that's actually not playing badly. You know, they could very well beat 3-0, and it's not like, if the moon was in the fifth house and this happened. It's like real legitimate. They won one of the games, and they were in the other two games to the very end, driving to try to win the game. So, Carson Wentz was rusty, but I would also give Indianapolis some credit because they also exploited some of that rust and made him really work for it today. But I agree with you, Rob. I think he'll be fine. He just needs some more. You got to get those game reps. You got to get your game condition together. You got to get your accuracy. You got to get your chemistry with your wide receivers. You got to get that flow together. And it's hard to ask him to come back in one game and just pick up where he left off. So, they got the win. It feels good for him. And I think he'll get better as, each game goes by.
Very nice. This is crazy. I'm kind of watching the recap of the Sunday night game between the Patriots and Lions. And Matt Patricia, this is crazy. I mean, I know it's not a Super Bowl, but Lions are like, they're just like in a state of euphoria. This is crazy, man. So congrats to them, man. They are, you know, after that start, they're just like, dude, we got something. Let's talk about J.J. Watt, second Eli Manning three times, and Eli has an Eli face, man. What's up with that, JQ?
Yeah, I mean, listen, J.J. Watt out there looking like Johnny Bravo, and it's good to see him healthy again. I mean, he's a monster when he's healthy, and people forget, you know, he's two-time defensive player of the year, I think, maybe three, I think at least two.
Three times.
He's a force to be reckoned with, and, you know, that offensive line for the Giants isn't very good, but they found the way to win that game. That I didn't think was going to happen. And again, I replay it back to Carson Wentz with Deshaun Watson. He just isn't fully back yet. You can tell he's tentative with some of his throws and with some of his mobility and his decision-making. He's just not fully all the way back. So you got to take that with a grain of salt. I think they could have won that game if Deshaun Watson was playing like he was pre-injury. But J.J. Watt is a force to be reckoned with. It's just that he just can't stay healthy. When he's healthy, he's a load to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were starting to wonder, you know, as the game passed him by a little bit, because he didn't really do much here in the first couple of weeks of the season, nor did the Houston Texans pass rush first couple of weeks of the season did anything as a whole. Jay Devon Clowney and Whitney Marcellus.
David Clowney.
Marcellus. And they really, you would think that, you know, their defense was going to be back to the form where we expected them to be at a few years ago. But they have not been putting any pressure on the quarterback through the first couple of weeks of the season. And so J.J. kind of gave them a lift in that department today. We're getting three hits on Eli Manning. But, shucks, Eli Manning was, 25 out of 29 a day, a couple of touchdowns, only a few incompletions in the whole game. I mean, he got the pressure on him. But when he was throwing a football – you know, almost all of them were being completions today. The ball wasn't hitting the ground. But they get some life on the pass rush. But the Texans, in my opinion, are somewhat underachievers so far. I mean, the defense have been underachieving. The offense started to show life toward the end of the game. Then Deshaun Watson threw a pick right there in the end zone. Ogletree with the INT there late in the game. You started to see Houston starting to move the ball a bit. But the Giants was able to hold on and get victory today, as Les Miles will say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good
I
call.
Don't understand
Good
it
call.
From week to week. It's crazy. The Giants look so bad against the Cowboys. Seem to look so bad today, but then they beat a team, like you said, a team in Houston we figured would be trending upward, and they go and get a win. It's the NFL, you know, not for long. It's ridiculous from week to week for the times that you just don't
you
even
bring it
it's going to happen. Yes, sir.
Who did the Lions lose to first week? Who did they lose to pretty badly the first week?
The Jets. 48-17.
The Jets, yeah. So, again,
yeah, they made Sam Darnold look all world.
The Miami Dolphins got a two-game lead on first place in the AL East.
Yeah, man, listen, they undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, the Bills.
Everybody else in the division is 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills surprised they beat them up on the Vikings. I don't think anyone predicted that either. If you would have looked at on paper, you would have thought that's not going to happen. But just
killed
two games I didn't see coming is the way the Bills beat the Vikings and the Lions beating the Patriots. Could have never predicted either one of those two games to happen.
What about Tennessee, 9-6 over Jacksonville?
Yeah,
in Jacksonville.
That was a surprise, too.
Yeah, that's crazy. A week after they just throttled the Patriots. Like, the NFL's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about the Chiefs' offense, if you will, Rob. What's happening with that?
Well, you know, we talked about Patrick Mahomes already, but when you really look at this team, I mean, Kareem Hunt, Sammy Watkins, Tariq Hill, Travis Kelce. As I think, Jake, one of you all just mentioned, you got to outscore the Chiefs in order to win. I mean, offensively, they are just loaded, and their offensive line is no slouch. They got a lot of first-rounders on that offensive line, too. So they're going to be a tough out. You know, Patrick Mahomes, man, that's, like I said, I mean, the way he's moving that football around the field, and he's completing it to several different receivers, too. So he's not just getting it done with his talent. He's getting it done with his mind, too. And so he's doing a phenomenal job so far. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, the Chiefs traded up to number 10 to get Mahomes. There's a lot of speculation that the Saints were prepared to draft Mahomes at number 11. And obviously, we took Marshawn Lattimore. But Sean Payton was even extremely high on Mahomes and was prepared to take him right there at number 11. So, good move by Andy Reid and the Chiefs moving up number 10 to get Mahomes. At least so far, it looks that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be tough
I want to say, I was going to say, just to piggyback on it, I believe he has now thrown 8 different players,
yeah.
I believe.
So, he's spreading the ball around.
Like you said, he's spreading around. I was Sammy Watkins' first touchdown of the young year today. So, I mean, that offense is just, you can't, you know, you got to put somebody over top because you've got two burners in Watkins and Hill. But then, oh, yeah, you got Travis Kelce patrolling the middle, and he's still got Kareem Hunt running the ball. It's like, what do you do to stop that Kansas City offense right now? As long as he's going to throw the ball like that, I just don't know how you stop that. They have too many weapons. Just focus on one guy because the other three will kill you, and it's legitimately another three. And then you forget it. If you even do something to those, then Albert Wilson catches a touchdown. You're looking like, who the fuck is Albert Wilson? Oh, he just caught a touchdown today, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that Kansas City offense is prolific right now. And if Mahomes is going to deliver the ball like that and not focus in on one guy and get locked in on the favorite target, but like you said, Rob, use his mind and take what the defense is going to give you. And with that arm talk that he has, I just don't know what you're going to do to slow them down.
Yeah. Some of the throws he's making is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty amazing, like I said. So we're definitely enamored. It'd be tough for Mahomes to play with Breeze right now because I'm sure Breeze would probably – how many more years does he have, Rob, probably, you think, honestly?
I don't know. He's been impressive the first 3 weeks of the season. Quietly, Drew Breeze has been quite impressive as well in these first few weeks of the season. I think he's got like 10, 11 touchdowns and no INTs in 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran for 2 today.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know. We'll just, you know – keep, obviously, we got Teddy Bridgewater. It's, hopefully, it could be the guy that could replace him here in a couple of years. But, you know, as long as he's keep playing at a high level, we'll continue to take him. Hopefully, win another championship for him.
I know you will. I think he has 2 more years after this he's going to play. But that second year, he starts to come back to earth and he says, okay, it's time for me to hang it up. So 2 more after this year.
Yeah, I mean, if we get a great year out of him this year and two more really good years out of him after this, then there's not much more you can ask out of that. So he's 39 years old, and, takes great care of his body.
Yes, he does.
Yep, so, I mean, I don't think anybody else because, you know, this messes up a pretty amazing game for Calvin Ridley. And congrats, like I said, I texted you about that. But, you know, and then Drew Brees has basically, I think he takes over Brett Favre for the number of completions, which is fans at like 6,000 something crazy, 603 and something, something crazy. So congrats to Drew Brees on that record, too. So, again, just for that idiot, man. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah. And Matt Ryan obviously had a phenomenal game, too. So, and like you mentioned, And Calvin Ridley was just whoever we Saints were putting on him until actually Lattimore had a really good game for the Saints. If you notice, in the third quarter, the Saints started putting Lattimore on Ridley, and that's when they started getting quiet, and then they started going to Julio Jones and Sanu.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints obviously look like Lattimore is just starting to play like he did last season, but the Saints definitely help at cornerback position outside of Lattimore. I mean, the Falcons are just picking on whoever Lattimore was in guard.
Listen, Calvin Ridley was killing P.J. Williams. I mean, he was eating him alive today. That was embarrassing. It was almost like Julio went for 300 on Ben Wickery from Carolina, and then they cut him like 2 days later. Like, it was almost to that level. It was like every time they saw him on P.J., he just went to him. But you got to wrap up Drew Brees. You can't let Drew Brees go within two of y'all and spin off and score a touchdown. You just can't let that happen. That's Drew Brees. Like, he could throw the ball.
No,
he ain't supposed to be pinballing off of people. But that game was defense
I didn't see
optional.
That one coming.
No, defense was optional in that game. But you also had two quarterbacks that were out there slinging the ball around. And, you know, that's what the NFL wants. That's why they want you to touch them.
Yeah.
They want you really to breathe on them. They want that high-scoring game, and they got it.
And that's what I was going to say.
Another thing, Michael Thomas, man. First 3 games breaks the NFL record for most catches.
Yeah.
First 3 games. What, has he got like 39 catches in three games?
Yeah, he's going nuts. I don't know how I forgot about my OSU dog. Yeah, Michael Thomas was cutting the pool. On the low, it's just that Thomas really was so ignorant. Now, he should, though. Michael
say
Thomas was a guy today. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say real quick, it sucks because I really think that, like you said earlier, as far as quarterback play and how I really think they had something to do with it, like, because they didn't want to kill Drew Brees because of the way they've been getting penalized. So that's kind of – it felt like, hey, let's just kind of, like, barely tackle him. That's kind of how it felt, honestly. I'm like, oh, man, you can't wrap him up. You know, it was just weird, man. But, you know, stuff like that always happens whenever we play the Saints, some crappy whatever. Just very frustrated, to say the least, man. But whatever. What about the Giants' performance?
You know, the Saints finally got a stop in the end of the regulation in that game. That was a key part of the game, too, where – with a third and four, and the Saints finally made a good defensive call where they blitzed Matt Ryan up the middle and got a hit on him, mm-hmm. and forced the incompletion. And that was because the Falcons still had a lot of time, but they had regulations to go down the field and get a field goal and get a victory. But that was a timely call by Dennis Allen to force that pressure and force that incompletion because they weren't getting stops either.
Arena football, yep. You get one stop.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dre.
No, I was just going to say, what about the Giants' performance today? 18 minutes left here. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I don't know who had to call you first.
I didn't specify, so you can take it.
Go ahead, Rob.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
obviously, you know, Saquon Barkley, you know, had a really good game. This is the Odell Beckham's best games of the season so far. And as I mentioned earlier, Eli Manning only had like three or four incompletions the whole game. So a very solid performance. They moved him out of the pocket a little bit to try to help him, you know, from the offensive line standpoint. So overall, I think Shermer had a really good game plan going into today. Obviously, the offensive line still has some woes. So I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to mask that issue. But they did have a really good game plan to try to protect Eli as much as possible. They did some max protect plays as well, some extra protection. So they're trying to hide some of the offensive line woes, and they were able to get by with that on today. Houston, like I said earlier, still a little bit underachieving in my opinion. We look at the personnel that they have on their roster. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if Watson can start playing like the way he did last year before the injury. But so far in these first three games, he has not.
Yeah, and what I was going to say about that is Sterling Shepard, he had a really great game for them today out the slot, and he had to have that, especially with Evan Ingram getting hurt. He discovered, you know, Sterling again today, and I think he really was the difference that, you know, they targeted him against, you know, the safeties and the linebackers over the middle, and he stepped up and he produced. Now, if he's going to do that, especially if Ingram is hurt for any extended period of time with that knee, to take some of that pressure off of Saquon, take some of that pressure off of OBJ, to give Eli another reliable option in that offense. And you saw what could be, and that's what we talked about, you know, going into the season, that we thought they could be that team that would step up because of all the weapons they have. Now, this, I want to see what's wrong with Ingram because he's an integral part of that. But when you have Sterling Shepard as well, you know, to kind of, you know, catch some of that flight that, you know, OBJ gives to him because he's getting double-teamed, you're gearing your defense to stopping OBJ in the passing game, I think Sterling Shepard really had a good game for the Giants today, and I really thought he was the key for them. So if they can keep that chemistry up between he and Eli, with the ability to not necessarily always be able to run the ball super effectively with Saquon, but you got to respect Saquon coming out of the backfield because he's a phenomenal catcher off the backfield. They have some things they can do with weapons on the outside. They don't have Kansas City's weapons, you know, but I think they have enough weapons that Eli can, you know, not go into Eli Manning face and bad decision making and just, you know, throw it away, check down when you need to Barkley. Don't force it to OBJ. Give it to Sterling when he's open. They could really be a good offense.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you mentioned that's a huge blow for them, Evan Ingram. So we're still waiting on, you know, what's the results from that injury. But it doesn't look like it's pretty. So it looked like they could be out. He could be out for some extended period of time here. But that's a huge blow to their offense because Ingram, you mentioned the two receivers, Shepard and Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley. They had a chance, and this is what we expected of the Giants going into the season. We thought that they could possibly be that number two team in the division behind the Eagles, mainly because of the weapons that they have offensively. as well as, you know, some pieces on defense as well. So finally showed a little bit of that today. And like I said, we have to continue to see if they can mask some of the offensive line woes that they've been having.
Mm-hmm.
Nice call. About 15 minutes left here. Let's keep this going here. Interesting. I know we were all excited about – not excited, but just amazed to see what happened with the Browns. Mario texted me. He was pretty excited to be a Browns fan, so definitely shout out to him. And I ran into the Browns fan today, and two sides of the coin. Should Todd Bowles be fired? I guess we're going to talk about that as far as Baker Mayfield, his thing, because my Cleveland Brown fan thought it was a little controversial. Kind of, it was kind of fishy how Tyrod got his little, you know, kind of got put out, and he was like, man, what's up with that? You know, but obviously he likes Baker, but just didn't like how it went down. But anyway, long story long, should Todd Bowles be fired, JQ?
Todd Bowles or Hugh Jackson? You talking about Cleveland?
Yeah. Oh, this is for the Jets. This is for the Jets. Like Todd Bowles, we're losing.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Because the thing about it is, you got to know that you're going to have some of those blips and bumps in the road when you have, you know, a rookie quarterback. And so, you know, I'm not gonna think you should fire Todd Bowles. I think that momentum just was a groundswell, and that energy in that stadium and that team just started believing. I don't fire Todd Bowles, but I think Baker Mayfield just made some really good throws, and he directed that offense, and Carlos Hyde really played really well as well for them in that game. So I don't really put it on Todd Bowles, so to speak, for that loss. I don't know what else he really could have done. You know, he has the personality he has, you know what I mean? And you game plan for Tyrod, and then Baker comes in, and a lot of times when you have a talent and backup that comes in and does that, and you don't have tape on him, you didn't game plan for him, it's hard to adjust that quickly on the fly for somebody that can do those things. So I wouldn't fire him for that. I think you can't get so knee-jerk reaction, you know, in the beginning quarter of the season to say, okay, that dude deserves to be fired. Because the Jets have really been in a lot of these games, and they're playing really tough. And they beat the brakes off Detroit that opening weekend. So, you know, let's not get over the top, you know, where the thing that happened today is the worst thing that happens ever. You know, they'll be fine. I think they're going to still play good enough defense to have a chance to be in all their games. And that's what you want. You want to be able to win them, but you don't want to be embarrassed. I don't think the Jets were embarrassed. I think Baker just came in and just played a well of the second half.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. I think the key, what you recognize in that game, the difference between Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield, was the fact that you see how quickly Baker Mayfield gets rid of the football. He recognizes coverages and schemes, and he was getting rid of the football quickly. And that was a big difference. And you can clearly see that he was better prepared to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns going forward. I mean, Tyrod mm-hmm. Taylor holds on to the ball too long sometimes. Baker Mayfield recognizes, he sees it, he gets rid of the football. And that's why he's been drafted. That's why we drafted number one overall for him to be the starting quarterback. But, you know, you get a lot of people speculating at the die. There's a lot of jokes going around and saying that the trainer just said that Tyrod Taylor had a concussion just so they could put Baker Mayfield in the game.
Yeah, but, that's what I heard too, yeah.
But either way, you know, you can see at the way that game started out that the Browns needed a change at the quarterback position, and Baker Mayfield gave him life. You know, we'll see if he can keep it going for him. But we all knew at some point this season Baker Mayfield was going to be the starting quarterback. It was just a matter of time.
Right.
You know, whether it been 4 games, whether it been 8 games, and it's going to be the 4th game of the year. He's going to be the starting quarterback of the team. We knew he was going to be the starting quarterback at some point, and here it is. You know, he's going to be starting week 4. But to answer your question about Todd Bowles, no, absolutely not. He should not be fired. Definitely not at this stage. They would have to put up a Cleveland Browns kind of season, 1-15 or 2-14 or something like that, in my opinion, for them to be fired. I think as an organization, you have to realize what you have right now. I mean, you do have some talented mm-hmm. players and pieces on defense, but you still have a rookie quarterback who doesn't have a lot of weapons on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have to realize what you have from a personnel standpoint. And from a coaching standpoint, I think Todd Bowles is one of the best defensive minds in the game. And I think it would be a mistake if you try to get rid of him at this point.
And you talked about it earlier, Rob. Yeah, the Dolphins are surprising us at 3-0, but everybody else in the division is 1-2. So it's not like you're so far out of it already where you don't feel like you can still make a move depending on how things play out, because you're going to get your chances to play the Dolphins as well. The Dolphins are going to have to play the Patriots. Like, you know, if they were in last place, you may get a little restless, and I still think it would be premature. But when it's the other two, you know, when three of y'all are 1-2 and one team is 3-0, you still got to look back and say, okay, we still have a chance to get back in this. You know, they're going to come back to earth. We have a chance to bring them back to earth because we're going to play them twice. So we're still in this. You know, this division for us is still winnable. I mean, in theory, we still all expect the Patriots to come back and be the Patriots. But when you're looking at the standings, it's like, you know, we're there with three other teams in our division with the same record. So why would we panic like that?
Carl,
shout out to LaDainian Tomlinson for wearing the red pants.
Yeah, come on, LT.
About that. The biggest secret is out of the bag here in regards to somebody, I guess, is getting named starter. Who is that for the Browns? Who is that? JQ.
I mean, that Hugh Jackson's hilarious. Like, come on, buddy. We all know Baker is playing. I know you're trying to make sure that you talk to Tyrod first and do the right thing by him. I get it. I get it. But, you know, just only my thing is I wouldn't even answer the question. You know, I would just, you know, I would go crazy and just say something totally different just to confuse the people in the room. So I wouldn't have to answer the question because we all know it. You know, like, there's no way you can see what just happened. Yeah, there's no way you can look at that and say, well, I got to wait till Monday. Like, no, you don't, bro. You don't have to wait till Monday. He's absolutely the starting quarterback. What he did for that stadium, for that team, the energy he brought for them that second half, you know, maybe he can't keep that going for the whole season. And you may get to the point where it's like, okay, you know what, you had a good run. Now you got the taste of it, but now it's time for you to sit back again because you've hit that rookie wall. And I think that's okay, too, if you handle it properly. But there's no way, based off of getting that first win since, what, December 2016, that you take him out the next game. There's no question. I get what he was trying to do. He was trying to do the right thing by Tyrod, and I get that, but we all knew Baker was starting in week four. Come on, get out of here.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I totally agree. We already talked about it. you can like I said, you can clearly see the difference between the quarterback play between the two players. And Baker Mayfield, week one and week two, the Browns might have would have won at least one of those two games against the Saints or the Steelers with Baker Mayfield at the quarterback position. Based on my evaluation, what I saw, what Tyrod Taylor did against the Saints and the Steelers, and the way Baker Mayfield played the other night, they could possibly be at least 2-1 right now. So, it's just time. This is why you drafted the kid number one overall, and it's just time.
I'll say, though, just regarding the Saints game, the stuff, because the guy missed a field goal for that, even though Tyrod, you know, still, that one was clearly another conversation, too. But, yeah, like you said, it would have definitely been interesting. Baker has got to do his thing, and I think everyone wants that to happen no matter what. Get to some week four predictions, the Eagles at the Titans, Rob. Start off with that one.
Ooh.
Well, this is a tough one. I mean, the Eagles, both of these teams are 2-1. For the most part, both teams are playing really good defense. You know, the Eagles did ran into, what do they call them, Fitzmagic? They ran into Fitzmagic last week.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Fitzmagic threw four touchdowns on the Eagles. But the Titans are playing quietly really good defense as well. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Titans will win at home. And pull out a real close game. I'm going to go 21-17 Titans.
Wow. Yeah, I don't agree with the pick. I agree that it's going to be a close game. I don't know if it's going to be that many scores. The reason why I take the Eagles is because I feel like the Eagles can be more explosive on offense than Tennessee can be. I think Tennessee is actually playing really good defense as well. But that's the whole Blake Bortles thing as well with Jacksonville. Sometimes he's great, and then there's sometimes he does what he did today. At home, you can't do that, especially when you don't know who's going to play. Mark Mariota is still not right. You know, they say he's still having all the fingers filling in his fingertips and in his hand. And then you're talking about Blaine Gabbert. Enough said on that point. And Blaine comes back and starts against the Eagles. I feel like the Eagles go into Nashville when they get a win. I think it's a little bit more low score. I think it's 17-14 Philadelphia.
Yeah. I'm still going to go with the Titans. And like I said, I think this is the time to catch the Eagles because Carson Wentz is – it's going to take some time to still work off the rust. So this is the time to get them right now. So I'm going to go with the Titans in a close one.
Yeah. The Titans are playing good ball. I can see them winning.
Not a confidence. We got a big matchup. The Chiefs at the Broncos here. Patrick Mahomes versus that vaunted defense of the Broncos. We'll see you, JQ.
Listen, until I see somebody do it, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City offense. You saw with Denver going to Baltimore. Baltimore still has a decent defense, don't get me wrong. But that offense that Kansas City has, I just can't pick against it right now. And maybe Denver finds a way with that pass rush with Von Miller and company to get home and disrupt Patrick Mahomes a little bit, get him off the spot, make him a little uncomfortable. But what I see out of Patrick Mahomes is even when you do that, he has the ability to extend plays and get out the pocket. And, again, like I talked about earlier, throw absolute dimes on the run. So until I see that, I still feel like I'm going to take, you know, Kansas City until I see somebody, you know, do it right now. I take Kansas City by 10.
Yeah, I totally agree on this one. I like the Chiefs on the road to go in there and get this win. The way the Chiefs are playing offensively, I mean, right now it's hard to bet against the Chiefs and it's hard to bet against the Rams right now the way those two teams are playing. I like the Chiefs to go on the road and get this victory. I'm going to say 34-21 Chiefs.
Sorry about that, Alex. Let's talk about I was going to see if we can jump into some college football, I guess, in the OT, but we'll go ahead and knock it out. We got like 3 minutes and 40-something seconds, so we probably got a minute 45 to get in there. So let's talk about this first game, about Wisconsin edging Iowa. Rob?
Well, here's one of those smash-mouth Big Ten games here. You know, Wisconsin got roughed up the week prior against BYU, and they came back this week and matched the physicality of the Iowa football team that has a tendency of playing really good on a line of scrimmage. And they forced Iowa to turn over the ball three times in this game. And so unimposing football game. But Wisconsin was able to win the trenches in this game and match the physicality of Iowa. That the forcing of three turnovers helped them to win. Hornibrook obviously didn't turn over the ball and made a nice back shoulder throw in the back of the end zone to get the win, 28-17 over Iowa.
Nice. Yeah, it's just that I think BYU woke Wisconsin up, and it was just unfortunate for Iowa to have to play them in that following week. And they went back to, you know, to their roots, Wisconsin did, and they found the ways of, again, Big Ten smash mouth football, and they were the Wisconsin team we thought they should be outside of that BYU loss.
Wow. All right, Rob. Let's get ready and set up. I know it's like we got like 2 minutes and 23 seconds, but let's go ahead and get set up for the OT portion here. We'll talk about Kentucky and other games as far as for college football. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Obviously, it's been a power-packed football edition here tonight, and we got a lot more football to talk about, particularly on the college level here in our OT portion. You don't want to miss the OT portion, so click on the same link on tomorrow to get our college show. We've got a lot of great college football games this coming weekend, so you don't want to miss our predictions on the OT portion. So make sure you click on the same link tomorrow to get that information. Let us know if you agree with us or disagree with us, and let us know why. Like I said, it's a power-packed college football weekend coming up this coming weekend. A lot of great games that we're going to be talking about here shortly, so you don't want to miss it. Next week, we're going to be back on air live on Sunday night. We're coming to you live on Sunday night, recap the NFL on Sunday night right after the games are being played, so you don't want to miss it. Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our people in Los Angeles. All right, you don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Yeah, and it's a crazy two-step because it was tough for me and Dre today. Rob is flying high. My homeboy Mike is not. But next week is going to be me and Dre. One of us is not going to be a happy camper next week. So please tune in to listen to us discuss, you know, the Bengals and the Falcons and all the other games. And it's tough for me next week. I got the Buckeyes against the Nittany Lions on the road, and I got the Bengals against the Falcons on the road. So I just can't catch a breather right now in terms of these big games for my teams. But this is why we love football. You got to go through this cauldron if you want to be the best. So we appreciate everybody for listening to the show. Holler back at us next week. Good night.
Yeah, all of our teams play against each other this year. Well, you know, for Andre and I, it's normal, though, every year. But,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Saints come to Cincinnati, I think, in week 11.
Yeah, a lot of love. Just want to give a quick Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to my boy Tony. Appreciate you, Tony. Yeah, he just definitely commented and said, great show, fellas. So appreciate him tuning in about that.
Appreciate
you, Tony. Definitely continue listening. And, you know, he's in Florida right now. Definitely call in, bro, and give us your thoughts. I need you as a Falcon fan to kind of help support this man because it's been rough, man. Rob had his boy call in, so I'm going to need you to show us some love as well, man. I'm going to say really quickly, next week I don't have as much hate for you, JQ, with the Bengals, I mean, as much as I have for the Saints, man. So, you know, again, you know, even if we somehow manage to slip up, it'd still be disappointed, wouldn't be as disappointed because, again, there's just no love lost, man. So I got to deal with this crap all week, man. So it's all good. So,
trust
you know,
me, JQ, I was rooting for the Bengals today, and I'll be rooting for them next week, too.
Yeah, it is what it is. At the end of the day, we both want W, so you don't have to have a hatred. I get you, but, we, you know, right now we need you this way next week. So
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy for me because I like the Falcons, you know, having lived in Atlanta almost 20 years now. So having the Bengals play the Falcons is real crazy for me, but I'll definitely be rooting for the Bengals.
Yeah, well, that's fair. No worries, man. At least stay true to that, man. So it's all good. Like I said, we'll keep it going. We'll see what happens. And at this juncture, I don't even know what team is going to happen. So, you know, it's all good. Let's talk about a couple things here. Let's talk about what?
When you look at Atlanta, offensively, Atlanta the last couple of weeks have been really impressive. Put up 31 on Carolina, put up 31 today. So, from that standpoint, I think you're still going to have to win a shootout if you're going to beat Atlanta. When you look at their weapons with Ridley and you know, I'm giving the Saints cornerbacks a hard time, but I don't think it's going to be too many teams that's going to be able to keep up with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley.
No, agreed. You got to bring your lunch pail against the Falcons. It's going to be another shootout. Depends if AJ Green is going to play. He says he's going to be okay, but with a growing injury, if they don't have AJ, Atlanta's probably going to win that game. If they have AJ, it's a toss up. Honestly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, where's that game
being
played?
In Atlanta. I'll be in the building.
I forgot my train of thought. In one half of football, they said that AJ Green is already matched what Julio did all last year. That was crazy. They're clicking shots, man, because he had like 3 touchdowns. Like last week.
That's nuts.
It was nuts, man. Crazy.
Wow.
All right.
Well, you may not like this, JQ, but tomorrow night I'll be rooting for the Steelers to beat Tampa.
I know you will. You want all your division foes to lose. I get it.
Let's hope for some more Fitzmagic. Hey, let's keep it going here. Let's talk about Kentucky beating Mississippi State, if you will. Go ahead on that, Rob.
Well, quietly, Kentucky's playing outstanding. They're undefeated. And, I mean, they're 4-0, and this was a really good win. I mean, this was a Mississippi State team that a lot of people thought could be the team that can challenge Alabama in the West and the SEC. And Kentucky
who the hell
straight up
that?
Panhandling them. I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's crazy.
I said, who the hell thought that?
Well, a lot of the so-called prognosticators.
Wow.
So-called.
Okay.
I didn't say it was me. Yeah, but quite a few of the so-called prognosticators thought Mississippi State was that team that could possibly challenge Alabama because Mississippi State was coming in here with a really good defense, got some really good defensive linemen and linebackers that's going to play at the next level. And, I mean, Kentucky, Ben Snell, I mean, outstanding. Mm-hmm. And they're having a defense as well. Mark Stoops doing a phenomenal job. I mean, they're 4-0. You have to wonder now, can Kentucky challenge Georgia? That's going to be the question, more so than can Mississippi State challenge Alabama. And so that'll be interesting in the SEC East. Tennessee, Florida, they're not the same. I mean, we already saw Georgia beat South Carolina like a bunch of cream puffs. And can they challenge Georgia? I think it's more the question as far as Mississippi State. But the Wildcats played outstanding defense in slowing down Nick Fitzgerald in that game. And they were able to move the ball against a stout, so-called stout Mississippi State defense. And scoring 4 touchdowns on that defense, going over 300 yards of offense as well on them. So you got to give the Wildcats a lot of credit. It looks like they have a chance of being at worst the second-best team in the SEC East.
Oh, they are the second-best team.
And we're not talking about basketball, people.
Right. They're the second-best team in the SEC East. I just don't think they have enough talent top to bottom to beat Georgia if Georgia comes out and plays their A game. If Georgia takes them lightly and say, oh, that's just Kentucky, then they can be in for a fight. So I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, you got to give Kentucky a lot of credit. And I give them a lot of credit for not being still being too high over finally beating Florida and being able to come back and get and collect themselves. And like you said, a very hyped, to me, an overhyped Mississippi State team and beating and taking care of business. So a lot of times you see Kentucky do that where they may have a victory or a close victory, and it's like, oh, Kentucky might turn the corner and come back and lay an egg. They didn't do that this week. Benny Snell Jr. just absolutely talking trash and walking the walk with it. So, you know, he's trying to get put Kentucky football back on the map. I think it's his senior year. But you got to give him credit. They're 4-0. They exercised some demons in beating Florida. And then, again, I'm very impressed with the fact that they could do that and then beat a ranked Mississippi State team the following week and be able to do that in back-to-back weeks. That is a huge step forward for that Kentucky football program. So shout-out to the Wildcats. I don't think they have enough to beat Georgia. But if they keep playing like that, it's going to be, like Corso says, a lot closer than the experts think. So we'll find out when they finally match up.
Yep.
It'll be like Lane Kiffin and putting fake quotes in locker rooms to try to like motivate your team either, by the way. Don't do it.
I love it. Whatever you got to do, I love it. Michael Jordan used to do it. That one dude, Michael Jordan, said, he said, man, that dude, Michael Jordan made up a whole story about me that I never said or did anything to that dude. He made up a whole kind of plan about what I talked trash to him about something that happened that never happened just to provide himself motivation. I love it, Lane Kiffin. Do what you got to do to get the boys ready.
That's funny. Texas Tech throttles. Texas Tech throttles Oklahoma State, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Oklahoma State beat the stew out of Boise State the past
right.
week, the week before that. So we didn't. I don't think too many of us saw this one coming. The way Texas Tech dominated that football game. They scored 27 unanswered points. They limited Oklahoma State's high-powered offense to 81 yards in the second half. And we talked about how good of a coach Mike Gundy is. And they stopped that Oklahoma State's high-powered offense and their run game. Because Oklahoma State was running all through Boise State the past week, slowed them down to just 81 yards in the second half to snap a 9-game losing streak against Oklahoma State. And Texas Tech had lost 9 straight previous to this, but 41-17 win at Oklahoma State. That's pretty impressive. Actually, that moves Texas Tech into the top 25 as well.
Yeah, and I think that's why I picked Boise State, because what Texas Tech did to Oklahoma State, I thought Boise State was going to do it. And then Texas Tech out of nowhere comes in and just lays the wood to Oklahoma State. And that's part of the reason why I was giving Kentucky so much praise, right, of that being able to handle success 2 weeks in a row and come out and handle your business in that second week after you made a statement the week before. And Oklahoma State just did not do that. I mean, they cracked the bed. You come out and you take all of the stuff, you put the chips on your shoulder, and you beat Boise State, and you let Texas Tech come in your backyard and just dump you. I just, you know, that is baffling to me, but that's the Big 12. That happens. TCU playing Ohio State super tough and then going to Texas and don't look like they can complete a forward pass. Like, I don't – this football weekend has been so crazy with what's happening from week to week that, you know, it's just hard. That's why they play the games. Like you said, Rob, you got to bring it every week. And Oklahoma State did not bring it this week, and Texas Tech gave them the business.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Oklahoma survives Army, Rob.
Well, you talk about time of possession. I can't remember what other game we were talking about. Oh, Seattle and Dallas. But check out the time of possession of this game. Oklahoma only had the ball for 15 minutes and 19 seconds. Army piled up 339 yards on the ground and held the ball for 44 minutes and 41 seconds in regulation. And that's what you do against the Oklahoma high-powered offense, to keep the ball out of their hands. And that's what Army did. I mean, Oklahoma was still able to pull the game out, but they had to pull it out in overtime. And, I mean, Army just kept running the ball down their throats. And just kept the ball out of Kyler Murray's and Oklahoma's hands. I mean, look, time of possession. Listen to that again. 44 minutes and 41 seconds. Oklahoma only had the ball 15 minutes and 19 seconds in regulation.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, and the other piece about
keep
that
away.
Is it's hard. It's super hard to prepare for that triple option when you don't see it on a regular basis. And that's a lot of times where Georgia Tech was able to sneak up on people from time to time, the same way the Navy is able to sneak up on people from time to time, because you're not ready for that triple option. But you talked about Oklahoma. That fool, their linebacker, and I forget his name, had 28 tackles in that game against Army. Just let that roll through your brain and come out your mouth. 28 tackles in one game. I mean, that's a good 4 or 5-game stretch that will get you all kind of, you know, bulletin board and stickers on your helmet, and, you know, you get to wear the chain around the complex. That fool had it in one game. But that's because Army held the ball for 45 minutes. But I saw that. And I had to rewind it back, like, that can't be right. He did not have 28 tackles in that game. 28 tackles. Oklahoma survives. But that, to me, the Army, it's impressive. Don't get me wrong, to be able to battle Oklahoma like that. But for one dude to have 28 tackles, he should have had the cold tub to himself for, like, 2 or 3 days, because that dude was hurt. That is impressive.
They kept running right at him.
But you still got to wrap up and make 28 tackles, baby. That is crazy to make 28 tackles in the game. Shout out to him. I forget his name. I'm sorry, sir, for not having your name on the tip of my tongue. But shout out to you for 28 tackles. You know who you are, and that is crazy.
Yes.
Tiffany's call score predictions. Number 20 BYU at number 11 Washington. Rob, turn it up.
Obviously, BYU had an impressive win, and they're really playing a nice physical brand of football. But I just like Washington from a talent standpoint against BYU, and they can match BYU's physicality as well. So I'm going to go BYU. I think it's going to be close. I only think Washington is going to win this game by 7 points. I'm going to go with 27-20.
I can go with that. I think Washington, we talked about it. They lost that game more than Auburn wanted, and I think they just have been impressive in the other games they played. I'm just going to go with Washington. I think defensively they were pretty stout. Jake Browning, if he can, he's got to tighten it up a little bit. I wasn't super impressed with him, but he's got the defense to back him up. If he can just tighten it up, I feel like Washington can, like you said, Rob, in the beginning, I think they can run the table. Outside of the loss, of course.
Number 19, Oregon at number 24, California. Rob?
I think Oregon bounced back and going to roll and get this win. I was somewhat impressed, even in a loss against Stanford. They showed me a lot of that. Justin Herbert is outstanding as a quarterback.
Oh, my
Oregon.
God.
He's very underrated. And you're talking about a guy who wasn't even highly recruited. I mean, you're talking about the Montana States of the world, the Sacramento States of the world. Well, the type of schools that was recruiting Justin Urban in Oregon just kind of said at the last minute, we're going to give you a shot. And, boy, did they luck up. I mean, because he was outstanding. I like Oregon on the road in this game. They really, their defense let them down and let Stanford get back in that game. But he was outstanding. I like Oregon to go on the road and win.
Well, a piece of that was also Oregon fumbling. You know, I'm trying to, you know, submit the game, really, and letting Stanford pick it up and run it back. But what kind of ridiculous foolishness was Herbert on in high school? How do you have that kind of talent and only be being recruited to those schools? Like, was he slapping chicks or, you know, and just cutting a fool in high school? Like, dude, what are you doing? He is a load. I mean, he could flat out roll and throw the ball. I don't understand how that happens, how he wasn't more master recruited. I want to delve into that, and maybe I have something for him next week, because he had to be a buckethead just in high school where he was just tripping. But all that to say, I feel like this is a test for Oregon. We talked about being able to handle success. Now you talk about the flip side. How do you handle failure? When you had that game in the bag, pretty much won, and you lose it like that, can you come back and bounce back? And Rob is absolutely correct. They play a physical brand. They don't have those smaller offensive linemen. They got some more big role graders. They want to run the ball on you. They want Herbert to run the ball. He's got a lot of talent at wide receiver as well. I think Oregon bounces back in a new culture of smash mouth that they have happening and make a statement that it's not who we are from old. We're not finesse. We're power. And we're going to take that power on the road and win.
Craziness. Number 12, West Virginia at number 25, Texas Tech. JQ.
I don't trust Texas Tech to, we just talked about, to be able to handle success. And I'm not beating a dead horse, but it just kind of, for me, is an overall thing. We talk about teams, what they've done before in the previous week and going to the next week. I think they call Oklahoma State still kind of filling their oats about beating Boise State and going there and beating them up. I just don't think they have that ability to do it this week. I don't.
Rob?
I agree. Texas Tech, nice win on the road at Oklahoma State, but I think they lose at home. Now, I know it's a long way for West Virginia team to have to travel, but Will Grier is just lighting people up right now, man. And, I just think they have the experience and the way they're playing right now. I like West Virginia to go on the road and win this game. We're going to go 40-35 in the shootout.
Yep, Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a shootout.
Nice. nice. All right, let's talk about this. Ohio State at number four,
huh.
Ohio State. Make sure they're at number nine, Penn State. JQ, you all right, bro? You can start that off.
Man, listen, I already have heart complications about next week. I told you before, having to go to, you know, Happy Valley to the Whiteout in prime time. And listen, that Penn State offense is going to give Ohio State defense blues. I'm just going to tell you right now that they're going to give Ohio State a lot of fits on defense. Because I feel like as well as Ohio State has come from last year to this year, when Barrett to Haskins, I think they've taken a step back on defense from all the losses they've had in the secondary. And we don't know if Bosa is going to play. And that's really big for Ohio State not having Bosa. That being said, I like Haskins' moxie. I like the ability to put the ball on the money to make the right decision. But this game is going to be nip and tuck dogfight, as most Penn State Ohio State games are. I'm not going to pick against Ohio State. You already know I'm not going to, because I feel like they have enough talent to win it. But I really feel like it's a 4-point game. It's like 34-30 Ohio State.
Rob.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good football game. I actually like Ohio State to win by a little more than that, actually. I'm going to go 7-8 point victory. I'm going to go Ohio State like 38-30 in this football game. I think from a talent perspective, they just Penn State, I think, is very well coached. And Trace McSorley, they've really turned around since week one. But I think overall Ohio State is just a better football team. And it is Saints U as well. So, I mean, I just think it's going to be a little bit – of a bigger win for Ohio State. I just think there's a talent disparity between the two schools right now, and I think it'll show up in the end of the game. Ohio State wins.
Wow.
I hope you're right.
Wow.
I know I'm going to be a ball of nerves, and I'm going to have to watch that game by myself, if at all possible, because I'm going to be a lunatic throwing stuff, yelling at the TV. That's just how I am. I'm sorry. That's just how I am. So I'm going to be quarantined for that game next Friday night.
Wow. All right. We still have passion. Let's go to number seven, Stanford, at number eight, Notre Dame. Great matchup, too.
Is it? Because
– I mean, I'm saying
– No. I'm not – okay, let me take that back. It is for the 7-8. Notre Dame kind of bounced back a little bit because they really were one of the worst top 10 teams I've seen in a while outside of the last week's showing. Yeah, they beat Michigan, but that was a sloppy game, and they didn't look good. Outside of that, I think Lewis might have lost that job to the backup. Or they're going to rotate them, how that's going to happen. And then you look at Stanford for the comeback was great in the second half, but they were awful in the first half. So it's which Stanford team shows up in that game versus Notre Dame. I really expect that to be a low-scoring kind of why am I watching this kind of game. I know I'm supposed to like it because it's 7-8, but I'm really not into it. But I don't trust Notre Dame. I really don't. Stanford still may be flying too high, but – oh, my goodness, I hate having picked this game because I can see Notre Dame winning, too, for Stanford not being able to do it another week in a row. You know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to take Notre Dame. I'm going to take Notre Dame by a field goal. I don't know if Stanford's going to be able to come back to earth after that victory. That's really hard to do for young college kids after you have that kind of comeback to then go play another top-10 team in name to me, but still a top-10 team and recapture that magic, you know, 7 days later. So I'm going to go Notre Dame by 3. But I'm not confident in either one of them.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'll be rooting for Stanford to win this game. But I was actually very impressed with the quarterback. I can't even remember his name that started for Notre Dame. This Brandon Wimbush has been struggling here these last few weeks after the Michigan game against Ball State and whoever else they played. But they were, you know, lower echelon schools. But Wimbush had been struggling, and Notre Dame made the surprising decision to go with the other quarterback, and he's played phenomenally well. And if they can get that kind of effort out of him again, I think Notre Dame is going to win this game over Stanford because I think Notre Dame's got enough defensively to slow them down and match their physicality. And so I'm going to go with Notre Dame and winning this one 24-20 over Stanford.
Nice. All right, let's – wrap this up here. Let's get to some basketball really quickly. I don't know how we put this in here. Magic says that Lonzo Ball has changed his uniform. Is good for the better. I think this is to agitate JQ. But what about that, Rob?
Well, you know, I will say I saw some video clips of his, you know, his new release, and you have to really watch really closely in order to see some of the changes that he's made to his release. It's a little bit tighter, but the release looks the same. I think the one thing you see is the ball is coming out of his hand a lot quicker. He's got a quicker release. Magic seems to think that he's going to have an offensive breakout season this year. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. I don't want to cast – I mean, based on what I'm seeing, you have to really watch closely to see the difference in his shooting style. Like I said, it looks a little bit of the same, but the ball is coming out of his hands a lot quicker. He's got a quicker release. Not quite Ray Allen quick, but he's got a quicker release. And you know, Ray Allen had a quick release, man. That ball was just going real fast.
That's lofty. That's a lofty.
Yeah. But you can see that he's made some adjustments to his shot. We'll have to see how it translates to regular basketball play. But you can go and look at it online, some of the video clips of his new release. It's just a little bit tighter, a little bit quicker, but you really have to look real closely to see it.
Listen, I agree. I couldn't agree more 1,000,000% with what you just said. When I see, you know, not underwear basketball, we're just in the gym getting up shots, I want to see it when you're down 4 and you got to get a stop and LeBron looking at you, or you need a bucket and LeBron looking at you like, hey, man, I'm driving to penetrate. This is your shot. Do you revert back to old familiar form or the new look form? I need to see it when the chips are on the middle of the table and you got to have it. So I'm reserve judgment. Yeah, you know, in, you know, summer, you know, early fall, you know, getting ready for the season. Okay, yeah, that's great and everything. But I take all that with a heavy dose grain of salt until I see it happen with the chips on line when you're playing the Warriors, when you're playing the Rockets, when you're trying to make that statement as, you know, the sidekick. Who's going to be the second sidekick, the first sidekick for LeBron? Is it going to be you, Lonzo, because they're putting a lot on you? Is it going to be Ingram? Is it going to be Hart? Like, you know, it's going to be Kuzma. What are you going to be able to do when it comes to him kicking it back to you and you open there, daring you to shoot the ball? Can you knock it down with that new stroke, or do you revert back to the old stroke because it's familiar? So I'm just going to reserve judgment on it until I see it happening when the bullets start to fly for real.
Absolutely.
Good call. And the training camp starting pretty soon as well, too, so we're excited about that as well.
Unbelievable. I mean, how fast the NBA offseason is.
This is rolling.
They have immediate days tomorrow. Our teams are starting training camp on Tuesday. Seems like the season just ended.
You're right. It's crazy.
The only highlight of Andre's day right now, besides Atlanta United, is the fact that the Braves won the NL East. So there you go. You want to talk about that, JQ? Show some love.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know what? Like I've said, I'm not a Braves fan because I used to hate watching the Braves on TNT and TBS because the commentators were so biased that it was hard to watch as an opposing team.
TBS.
It was crazy. But you know, it's hard for me not to root for them. They were crazy biased. It was like either the Braves were the best team smoking or the Braves just played bad and you was lucky to win. And it was like, come on, man, how come we just couldn't have been a better team today or in the series only this year? But I digress. It's hard for me to root against this particular Braves team, having worked with Gwinnett and talking about Acuna and talking about Alves and talking about Camargo and talking about Swanson and talking about Tuca and all the other pitchers they have that have come through that I've seen. That, you know, the baby Braves, you know, ahead of schedule, we talked about it. We really thought it would be next year that they would be doing this. But they were able to fill that void in that vacuum where Washington stumbled. Philadelphia was also young like them, not able to, you know, be able to step up to the plate. The Mets with the injuries and Miami just being Miami, that the Braves were able to fill that void in the NL East and go ahead and capture that crown probably a year earlier than we thought they really were going to be able to do it. So, you know, I give them a ton of credit. You know, they have a lineup you really don't want to face. And I think right now they may be slated to play the Dodgers, if I've got that right. I mean, I look at that again, might be their opening series, which will really be phenomenal. But the fact that they were able to come back from the doldrums that they were in this quickly with all that young talent and make that manifest over a 162-game season, you've got to give the Braves a ton of credit. From the top to the bottom, organizational wise, for who they selected in the draft, how they, you know, groomed those guys. It's just a phenomenal year for the Braves.
Yeah, when you look at it, I mean, there's not, you know, in my opinion, a real powerhouse in the National League. To me, the powerhouse teams are in the American League, so they really can make a run here in the National League, too. Right now, they got the second best record in the National League behind the Cubs. And they're not that far from it. It really pulled away from the Phillies, opening up a nice lead, 9.5 games at this point. And like I said, when you look at the National League, the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Braves, the Brewers are right there in the mix. They all, from a record standpoint, are not that far off. So the Braves are definitely right there in the mix, could possibly make a run toward the World Series, even with that young team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just hope that the team can do something, because right now it just you hate that ultimate. You know, like you said, it's a year early, definitely a year early, and we're not 100% sure about everything. There's a couple questions with starting pitching, a couple questions with the bullpen. Clearly, the lineup is great, like you said, but now you just got, you know, just they're young, so they probably don't even know any better. But you have just enough to see, man. So hopefully, the way we play, we can attract some free agents and say, hey, I'd like to be part of that squad, and we'll see how it plays out. But I guess all you can do is give them a shot, man. So it's all good. Hey, Rob, let's wrap this up, man. Go ahead and do it. Wrap up the show, and we'll go from there. Go ahead, Jake. I don't know if you have any last thoughts here, if you will.
Well, I was going to say, but you also put that in there, and we leave out Freddie, who you can't ever leave out as that veteran presence, and Markakis. And then you also have a guy in between, the Baby Braves and those guys, and Ender. They just really have a really solid team and a lineup. You're right. That bullpen, can they shore it up? You know, can Tehran, what is he going to do? Does Foti be able to capture that magic? Can Anibal, you know, also contribute in that rotation in the playoffs? I think the onus is on the pitching staff for the Braves. I feel like they're going to be able to score enough runs and cause enough havoc on the bases with that speed that they have, to where you're going to have to, you know, you have to pretty much outslug them a little bit. But can that Braves pitching staff, from top to bottom, from starters to middle relief to closers, can they keep the Braves in the games and close out games to capitalize on that offensive capability that the Braves have? Because that lineup is very, very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. You got it. Anything else you want to wrap up with that, Rob?
Nope. I think that was well
said. Wrap the show then. Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in. Power Pack, you know, football weekend. We still got Monday Night Football on tomorrow night. And so obviously we'll be coming back to you live on Sunday night next week and discuss the Sunday action of the NFL and, of course, recap college. A lot of big college football games this weekend, so we'll get you caught up on all that action as well on Sunday night. Once again, we'll be live Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, people. You don't want to miss it. It's the last Sunday night of the month. Last day of the month, too. September 30th, this Sunday night. Make sure you tune in. Good night, people.
Crazy. My homeboy Dre, like you said, he was a friend of me with Rob this week. I guess it's going to be him. We're going to be frenemies this week. It's going to be interesting to see how the Bengals Falcons game goes out. We appreciate all y'all for listening to the show, and please tune in next Sunday as we talk about everything that happened in college football and the NFL and how these divisional races and these wild cards just shape up in the MLB. So we appreciate y'all. Y'all be safe. Have a good week. Talk to you next week.
We haven't
Love
quite
the football
hit,
music.
We haven't quite hit
yes,
the. That's cool. Haven't quite hit the fantasy, but Eagles Shit for Life was talking a little junk. But I think it was crazy. I looked at the message, and if you look at her projection, she was like she had 1% chance of winning. JQ, that's what's crazy.
No, that was
posted.
Mine.
That's what I was like.
No,
that was yours. That was
no,
yours?
That was.
They
no,
were saying
I
that
had
he only had a 1% chance of winning. Like she was
oh,
talking
no.
trash.
Oh,
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. It was backwards. Okay, I got you. Okay, never mind. Okay.
Oh, you know
I, that was for me. I was looking.
You know,
go ahead.
I don't necessarily, you know, she got a win, and that's great. You know, I'm just, you know, we talking about titles, not week two wins. That's why I say that. Like, oh, we talking about a week two screenshot, you know, golf clap. I give you credit for winning week two, but we focusing on bigger goals. That's what I was trying to get across. So, you know, she has all the right to talk a little trash, but it's all good. You
historically,
know,
she has been one of our biggest trash talkers in our fantasy league.
I thought that was Corey. Who's Gentilly Sausage? Who's that? Who's Gentilly Sausage?
Gentilly Sausage is actually Corey, who called in last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. He talks. He talks a little junk too. So, but you know,
mm-hmm. It's all good. It makes it fun.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Right. Absolutely.
I apologize. I thought that she said she came back from that. I totally missed that then, but I got you. Okay, I got you. That makes sense. I was like, what was she talking about? Anyway, all right. Gentlemen, have a good week. Hope you had fun. We will see you, like I said, just one of those crazy days. Anyway, both of you guys had a good week. We'll talk soon. We'll keep it up. And be safe, gentlemen, all right?
Chris Carter, 32 carries. That's old school football right there.
Yes, it is. They're going to wear that dude out.
32 carries? Man, you and people didn't run the ball that much back since John Riggins' days.
Yeah, that's some Jim Brown type stuff.
One running back didn't get that many carries in one game since John Riggins' days.
Yeah, and that's finally Pete Carroll decided not to go between him and Penny and let Carson be the stud that he can be. So we'll see if that continues on for Seattle. But, yeah, they, like you said, pound, pound, pound against the Cowboys. And Chris Carson, he's gonna be sore. You got to let that brother get in the cold tub first.
How about Josh Allen today? 15 out of 22, touchdown pass, two running touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unexpected.
Bills bounced back with a big win over Minnesota.
Unexpected. Killing all the survivor pools.
Yeah,
Adrian
Peterson
running away. That's crazy.
Looking younger again.
Yeah, he is.
So we thought he was done. We thought he was done, but he is not done, clearly. So enjoy that.
Kirk Cousins, two fumbles lost, and an INT for the Vikings.
Yeah, that's a.
We'll see. That is worst game right there. We'll see that. Yeah, they sort it off. All right, gentlemen. Be good, man. Get some rest, okay? Yes, sir.
Good night, people. Talk to y'all later.
Good night, people. Yep.
Later.